This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
And 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And I would like to thank Suzanne Borrow, who's a gold-level amplifier with us. And that's really nice and amazing. That means that Suzanne is giving at least $10 a month to Free Talk Live through our AMPS program. And if you'd like to learn more about that, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. It means that she's helping to advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. So thank you so much to Suzanne. We really appreciate your support. And with you in the studio tonight on Free Talk Live, you've got me, Bonnie.
TJ the Spy.
And Nikki.
And we do have some callers on the line, and that's what this show is about. You can call in on, about whatever is on your mind. So, Colin from New Hampshire, what's on your mind, Colin?
Hey, I wish I could be there. There's so many things I've been listening in that I could have been saying about some of this stuff regarding the, you TikTok. Know, TikTok and how maybe even, you know, it's a ruse where they say, oh, you know, the Chinese are using it, but really it's a way for the U.S. to collect data.
Well, then why would they want to ban it?
Well, what I think is they want to transfer ownership into U.S. hands so they can control the content that people are getting.
So this bill might actually take TikTok away from ByteDance and give it to the U.S.?
Well, it's going to, you know, some other buyer is going to buy it, and it'll probably be a U.S. buyer.
So do you have any more insight onto what they mean by the government?
I don't have any specific information about that. I'm just saying I hear things like this. And that's kind of my immediate thought is, like, what else could, you know, be happening?
But what do you think this means? It says here that this bill would give ByteDance, the owner of TikTok, the Chinese business that owns TikTok, it would give them about 6 months to divest from its U.S. assets.
Yeah, I have no idea exactly what those assets are. I mean, I think they probably have servers here in the U.S., yeah, they probably would have to sell those or something like that. You know, of course, all of this is probably because it's a corporation. I mean, if it was just an actual Chinese individual directly owning these things, they probably couldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't think they really have that there. They don't have a free market at all. They have to go through the government for permission for everything.
That was another thing I wanted to say. You know, they talk about how you have like a party official in the company. Well, we kind of have that in the U.S. through HR departments.
What do you mean, a party official?
Well, like you were saying, that it's a government person in each one of the companies, and that's usually a member of the party, the Communist Party. And they did the same thing in, like, you know, the Soviet Union, too. But we have a similar thing here where we have these HR departments, and it's basically one kind of ideology that's represented there that controls hiring and firing and all sorts of policy within companies. So you think you're running your own company, but really, you know, the HR person is.
And are they making the company have to go along with certain laws? I never really thought of it like that. I always thought it was like, oh, the HR people are the people you go to when you have a problem, but you just don't want to talk to the boss about it. But are they really there to, like, enforce, like, civil rights laws or something like that? You know, TJ,
well, they do it in a soft way. Like, you don't actually have a law passed saying that people have to do X, Y, and Z, but you'll have this HR person there, and they'll say, well, you don't want to get sued, and you don't want this to happen, so why don't we just do it this way, or why don't we do it that way? And they're always bringing in all these different, you know, things like what's the thing that the banks are doing now, the DEI, you know, that kind of stuff is already stuff that HR people push at companies all the time.
What exactly is DEI? I keep hearing about
diversity, equity, inclusion.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Yeah, it sounds like
it's how TJ got hired on as a host on the show.
Yeah, I'm the gay checkbox, so I like Pete Buttigieg.
I wasn't sure which checkbox we were gonna call you, so I was thinking, but yeah, I guess you're the LGBTQ.
The Alphabet Mafia. I got certified by the Alphabet Mafia. I'm here to tell people what words they can and can't use for certain ethnic and sexual orientation minorities.
Well, that's good. We need that.
There was a time where Mark told Ian he shouldn't say, I got gypped on the air anymore, because apparently that is insulting to gypsies.
Oh. Yeah, I heard the same thing.
I'd never heard that before.
I think it's fine to insult gypsies.
I don't know if it's
okay,
fine
Chris
to insult
Cantwell.
Them. Yeah, Chris Cantwell knows things. But
wow.
I just think not many are actually out there getting actually insulted and crying because they heard Ian say gyps.
I didn't even know that's where that came from.
Me either until I heard about that.
I'm a little offended right now because of my heritage, but I'll let it slide since I know you guys.
You're a gypsy?
I mean, I live in a thing that moves around and I have no home. Yeah. You know, I'm like.
Checks out.
Not a
How is the bus doing, Colin?
Good. You know, same as always.
I'm really jealous of Colin because he can go to Pork Fest and just take his whole house with him. I would love
that. Yeah, the party bus.
Imagine if you could just take
it
out.
Oh, yeah, and a shower and everything.
I mean, he lives in it.
It's pretty nice. I like it. But, yeah, like even people's freedom of speech is curtailed because, you know, there's no actual laws saying you can't say this or say that. But, you know, the HR person will recommend a firing because somebody said something like that, even though there's no complaining party either.
Mm.
There's a really crazy story that Jordan Peterson talked about where he had a what you call it, like a client, whatever. And the person was like being driven mad because there was just all of these emails back and forth, group emails in the company talking about whether or not they could use the word flip chart, because apparently somebody was
Filipino.
Like, oh, flip is derogatory for Filipino. Well, even though there was no Filipinos at the company and nobody was actually complaining.
And they're getting offended for them.
Yeah, they're getting offended for them. And you know, it's not even as if the word flip and flip chart, you know, is even derived from Filipino in any way whatsoever.
Oh, we're getting lost.
It sounds like we're losing you.
Oh, you're losing me?
Yeah, it's getting worse quality. It sounds kind of like it was when you originally called.
Well, that's New Hampshire for you.
Yeah. Sorry, Colin. We're going to have to let you go, I think, because it's just bad audio is a hate crime, is what the captain says. So, sorry, TJ.
That's
fine.
DEI. Audio quality.
DEI, diversity, equality, and inclusion. Is that
equity,
that
inclusion, yeah.
Equity. I thought they don't like equity, do like equality, something like that. Whatever. They use words for whatever they want it to mean. They, as in the government. We have another caller on the line, though. We have Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com. Dave, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me better if right now or in the following context?
Sounds good
right
so far.
Right now, do I sound better than I did before?
No, you sound worse the second time.
Yeah, I think the first time was better, in my opinion.
Oh, okay. Because I've been noticing some of my calls are kind of soft. So, okay. So, I have an update on Winchester, New Hampshire elections yesterday.
Cool.
So, as you guys may recall, an NH exit candidate ran for school board, pro-independence guy. And, of course, the people lost their minds over this. Some people lost their minds over this fact that someone like that could be allowed to run for office.
Yeah, allowed.
Oh, the people who are pro-democracy are mad about democracy happening?
Well, I mean, not everybody said that. It was more like just like you should vote. It was more like you should just vote him down. It wasn't that they were saying you shouldn't be allowed to run. I should not put words in their mouth.
I know what you mean, though. They basically act that way.
But they acted like they couldn't believe it. They said, you know, the word freaked out came up a time or two. And so is Russell Canning, he's also a free stater. He's been in New Hampshire, you know, off and on since about 2005, or 2004. Yeah.
He was an early activist. Like, he got here and got active.
Yeah, I think he's only been in Winchester for about a year. So, he's a newbie running for this, and the whole logistics were set up there was no hope of him winning because there was like you vote for two, and then there's two candidates, and the other two were both of the authoritarian candidates, and he was the only freedom candidate. So most people are going to vote for if they vote for Russell, they're still going to be voting for one of those authoritarian candidates because that's just the way it's set up. So. He didn't really have much of a chance. They got 200 votes, and each of the authoritarian candidates got 400 votes, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So he was the odd man out, and didn't win, which was all expected. However, the Winchester, you know, what you might call the liberty lean, the more liberty leaning faction of the two factions in Winchester, basically, retook control of the planning board and the board of selectmen, which is kind of like the city council. So the GOP, / slightly more pro-freedom faction in Winchester is actually very happy with the results that they've gotten, and they have a new friend, and they have a new friend in Russell, and there's kind of this relationship that's blossoming between the liberty folks.
The Republicans the more liberty-friendly faction, or are you saying there's a faction within the Republicans that's more liberty-friendly?
No, I'm just saying the Republicans in Winchester tend to be more pro-freedom, and they did take control of those two. Of those two institutions, which is of some value, they did not succeed in taking control over the school board. There were some other things that happened. As you know, I did like a litter pickup to support Russell. You know, since if you got an NH exit candidate, that's special. You want to do something to support them. So I did a couple litter pickups to support him. And I was carrying Russell canning sandwich board around my neck and everything. And you could see, you know, and I just thought, well, probably not very many people saw it and everything. But as soon as I went in to vote, the first lady I talked to said, "How did your litter pickup go for Russell Canning?"
Nice.
And she was the lady who was registering me. And apparently, she knew all about the Ridley Report and all these things I've been doing over the years and everything. So that was fun. She didn't seem like she was a supporter either. She was more. She obviously was kind of skeptical about me, but she knew all about it. So that was good.
I was just going to say, even just her knowing about it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she probably saw it on the side of the road. You know,
Whether you like it or not, I'm honored you watch. And then something else interesting happened while I was voting. And okay, so there have been two incidents, maybe three. So I used to live in Winchester. I had to re-register yesterday because I moved away and then moved back. But when I first moved to Winchester in 2018, I had a conflict with the town moderator, Murphy.
What exactly is that?
Moderator is kind of the guy that kind of hovers around the polling place while people are voting. I'm sure they do many other things before the vote, but they're an important election official.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, he tried to restrict me from filming my own voting process in 2018. And it was the same thing. I was like, so why are you so nervous about me? And it turned out, he'd been watching the Ridley Report for a long time already in 2018, and he was nervous about me being in there, you know, with my camera. I said, "Well, your reputation, sir."
Wow.
Why he was nervous about the camera? But like, okay, I should be able to film the whole process now. I don't necessarily have to film other people inside. But if I go into the voting booth, I want to be able to take the camera with me, and if some official walks up to me while I'm in the voting booth and gives me trouble, I need to be able to film that, right?
I don't understand why these people get so scared of you and anybody else with the camera. It's just like they're immediately admitting that they are bad people, I feel like, because what is scary about Dave Ridley, a peace advocate who is a very nice person and is
get away from me, Ridley.
Yeah, he's not rude to anyone, and
I remember,
just holding a camera.
I remember
that. Oh, yeah, that guy, yeah, what's his name? There was a guy that said that to me once when I asked him a question at the State House.
Like, get away from me, Ridley.
Yeah. But anyway, so the same thing happened in 2018. There was all this creepy stuff that happened in 2018, and then it happened again in 2020, some of it, you know, in a pretty unpleasant voting experience. And then so now I'm voting 2024, I go back, and this time, Murphy did not restrict me. I asked him, okay, so are you still restricting people from being able to film themselves while they're inside the voting ring? And he said, no longer are we going to restrict you from doing that. We ask that you not film other people. So now that was a huge improvement.
Nice. So what do you think changes their minds about stuff like this? Like, I think in the courthouses, definitely people going into film court cases happening has not really changed their minds, as in they personally feel differently about it. They still hate that people go in there and film their dastardly proceedings, but eventually they feel that they have to allow it. It kind of sounds like your activism has done a little bit of that, where they feel like they have to, for whatever reason, allow you to film in the polling places. What do you think about that? Why do you think that change happens?
Yeah, it's partly me, but also it's a lot of it is probably due to Mark Manchin, who actually really does a lot more stuff than I do in terms of going in and filming where you're supposedly not supposed to film. You know, he's more of a First Amendment auditor. I'm just kind of filming whatever is convenient, you know, and whatever's on my route, you know, but he will go all over the place to do, and he does a lot more videos, gets a lot more hits.
He does a lot more cops, though. I think that you're probably more influential as far as like a polling place. I don't know, though, but. He mostly does, like,
it's
cops
hard
on
to
the
say.
Street.
Yeah, it would just be nice if more people just film what happens in front of them. You know, whenever you're going in to vote, why not just go ahead and document the thing on film and, you know, get it uploaded.
It's so strange how some people react to being filmed in public, though. I feel like that whole... It's great activism in general, just for, like, relation with the public, because they need to realize that when they're in public, they can be filmed. I'm really passionate that they need to realize that, because I did some Robin Hooding with Breaking the Flaw. He's on YouTube as Breaking the Flaw. And I was going around with my camera. It's a big, obvious camera, you know, not just like my iPhone, and filming the streets, like for some kind of like B-roll for my video I was intending to make. I never ended up making it. But anyways, a woman walked by and I kind of put my camera down just because I was not getting her my shot. And she's like, yeah, thanks. Don't film me.
That's
and I was
rude.
Just like,
yeah, that feels like a rude response from her.
Well, yeah, it was definitely rude. And I was just like, what? I was just doing that to like not get you in my... I didn't say anything because she just walked right past. You know, that's kind of like a cowardly thing to do. Like, say something, but you're already like gone before I even realize what you said to me.
Yeah.
You know, like no stopping and being like, yeah, that's right. Don't.
Yeah,
bully.
It's like passive aggressive.
It is, and it's also cowardly.
And
opinion.
It's strange because you were trying to be polite, like you were doing something, and then you know what I mean? Like you were trying to do a polite thing, and she was still.
I mean, it was
mad
really more that
it.
I didn't want her in my B-roll because she's like walking right in front of my camera. That's the other thing. Like you're walking in front of my camera, lady. Like you could go around me. It's just so weird how people think they have a right to not be filmed in public. They don't have that right. You're in public. You can ask.
That's why.
I mean, all the security cameras are recording
She's
you.
She's probably logged right into TikTok. It's like recording her every
face ID on her iPhone.
Yeah. These people are just so dumb, and I really don't like that. The other thing about it is it's like there's something inhuman about it. Like people just like think that they can live in their own little bubbles,
well,
like connecting to the people around them.
There is something to be said for that, but I do know people who prefer to not be on camera at all. Like, I literally know people who, like, if there's a group photo and they're in it, they will turn around so their face isn't in the photo. Some people, for whatever reason, I think it's a little extra.
Yeah,
but for whatever reason, like, or people are really into that with their, like, young children, they don't want them on social media at all, which I get the social media thing. But a lot of people, they're like, do not photograph my kid. They will freak out if you try to photograph their kid, even if it's just in the background or something. Some people are really into not wanting to be on camera.
That's but the thing about, like, just don't freak out. Just go up to the person and explain
like, politely,
to them.
Yeah.
Because, like, even, like, the First Amendment auditors, like Ian, filming in public, usually try not to film kids just because the mom's going to freak out, for one thing. And for another thing, it's, like, irrelevant. It doesn't really matter what they're doing.
Yeah.
Why are you smiling, TJ?
I'm just thinking, like, you know, like, part of me is like, you know, I want to take these Karen moms and just go up with a camera, one of those old stashing camera, and go to a playground.
Oh, that will go over.
No, a playground at a K-6.
Yeah.
School, a public school, and just go, like, when they're out there playground, just start at the fence line.
There might be, you know, charges for that. I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, if they're at school, they're not allowed to go anywhere else. I don't know if it's really safe.
Your husband is very good at coming up with these ways to irritate the powers that be, like the drinking game.
Okay, but don't Don't put Ian and that idea in the same. Ian has never had an idea to go take pictures of children at a middle school or elementary school, just to be clear.
Okay, yes. Yes.
Because that's already a joke about him. What were you going to say about the drinking game, though?
Oh, the drinking game, that was funny because it's like every time they say raise taxes or something, you have to take a drink and everybody's getting hammered. And they had to stop the whole thing.
But some people just had water in their beer cans.
In their beer cans, right. But they had to stop the whole thing and say, you have to leave, and no. And so you got arrested. And
oh, jeez.
They didn't have labels on their beer cans either, so they don't know what's in them. They're just a certain shape. You're not allowed to drink from a certain shape.
Yeah.
So it could be soda, right? That's like the same thing.
Right.
Or like, you could have an alcoholic beverage in like a Mountain Dew bottle, and you'd never be the wiser if there was vodka in there.
Yeah.
But they stopped a Keene City Council meeting in the middle of it just to try to kick Ian and Sam Dodson and other people out for taking a drink every time they said raise taxes or something like that.
We need to bring that back. But, you know, I'm thinking, you know, with cannabis, like nobody wants to smoke cannabis, the flower, because it's in a public spot because it stinks up the whole room. Mm-hmm. And
Riley says, I'll do it.
Yes.
Do it at the cop shop, whatever.
But you got the waxes, and then you got the CO2 vape oil here, which is the best way, I think, because it's discreet, like e-cigarette, and, you know, doesn't run out like the wax pen where you have to constantly refill it with the wax. And so I thought, like, maybe we could go to a City of Keene Hall town meeting and just smoke up right in the middle with our vape pens, and, like, I smoke these in remembrance of lost liberties and yearn for a day, you know, the whole Rich Paul nobody routine.
Yeah, that would be a great one. Riley is actually, well, he's planning a 420 event outside of the state capitol this April 20th, so definitely make it to that April 20th here in New Hampshire, in Concord, New Hampshire. But also, he does a 420 in Keene, and at some point we're going to take it from Railroad Square to in front of the cop, what do you call that? I keep saying cop shop. The police station. I always want to say cops.
That's where I thought about doing it.
You're like the gang headquarters.
Yeah.
What is it really called?
Yeah, the pig pen.
Because you remember when they arrested nobody for the 420 rallies, a bunch of potheads went down to the police station, were lighting up their bongs right in the middle of the police station.
Saying, inside of it.
Inside the police station. There's no smoking. You go in, there's just a big, thick fog.
That's funny.
And they didn't arrest anyone for doing that because they just couldn't, you know, pinpoint anyone. I think they were, like, too intimidated.
That's really funny. They could probably benefit from some, like, contact high.
Is that all you had to say today, Ridley? Oh, looks like.
Well, thank you for mentioning breaking the law. We also have to remember Jason Gerhardt and another guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They have a trial coming up on April 9th in the Concord Federal Courthouse. We're filming in the Federal Courthouse lobby. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. 603-283-6160.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. Six charges against former President Trump and other defendants in the Georgia election interference case have been dropped. Georgia Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee dismissed charges related to solicitation of violation of oath by a public officer while keeping the remaining 41-count indictment intact. Lawyers representing a Boeing whistleblower whose death was determined to be from a self-inflicted gunshot wound over the weekend are urging authorities to conduct a more thorough investigation. 62-year-old John Barnett was found dead outside a hotel Hotel in Charleston, South Carolina. In a statement, Barnett's attorneys emphasized that they saw no signs suggesting he would take his own life. Don Lemon announced that his contract with Elon Musk for a new show on X is terminated. Lemon mentioned in a statement on X that Musk canceled the deal just hours after their interview, expressing displeasure with it. Lemon also promised to share more details about the situation in a separate video. John Schaefer, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
And so in an effort for there to not be dead air, I'm just going to... My bad. So something went awry with our bumper music there, but this is still Free Talk Live, and we should still be on the air. And sorry for making that noise happen in your ears. I'm glad TJ noticed it. But Free Talk Live is a show about liberty and morality as we see it as libertarians, and we're on the air 7 nights a week, and 603-283-6160 is the number you can call to bring up whatever's on your mind, like Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com just did in last segment. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there is no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
TJ the Spy.
And Nikki.
And we have a lot of different topics we're going to get into tonight on the show. But one of them that some of us are interested in, all libertarians are basically interested in this idea that education shouldn't be something the government's in charge of, to where they basically just, you know, mind control your children and they don't really learn how to think.
Well, here's what I've noticed. Like, as a mathematician, it kind of irks me, but we had the new math in the 70s to try and teach kids how to do the new math.
And, really?
Yeah. So there was a whole thing to, you know, kids are going to learn the new way of doing math.
Yeah.
I knew that happened to Common Core recently. Well, Common Core recently.
There was No Child Left Behind. And yeah. I remember there was this big red barn that they put in front of the Department of Education on Constitution Avenue. And I would walk by it, you know, when I would be in D.C., and it's like, that's what changed. And then when Obama got elected, the big red barn came down and Common Core came in. And I said, there's, you know, we spend more and more money to teach kids math, and the kids get worse and worse the
and
more
it's
money
really,
we spend on it.
And it's really not that difficult to teach mathematical concepts. It actually it doesn't take very much time if it's taught in the correct way. But for some reason, the public school system just can't figure it out.
I think they're making it harder than it has to be. If you've ever seen the Common Core stuff, like I looked at my little sister's Common Core homework, and it makes it more confusing by a long shot than just teaching people the normal 2 plus 2 is 4 and multiplication, blah, blah, blah.
I think there's that. And then in my opinion, I think a lot of the public school teachers are just not very good at presenting these topics to children.
They're stupid.
You know what I mean? It's like,
they're dumber than the kids.
Yeah. And it's like, if you look at like what is it? Liberty Classroom or whatever Ron Paul's thing is. Like, if you look at some of those, like just basic, like arithmetic and algebra, like his basic classes on stuff like math, it's like, yes, this is how you can present a topic in like 20 minutes.
Have you checked it out, any of that stuff?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and I actually just read Ron Paul's book on...
And the Fed?
I've read that book, but no, I read his book specifically on schooling.
Oh, okay.
I forget what it was called.
I don't know.
But it was really good. And it was like a very... I mean, he's preaching to the choir, because obviously I'm already like a fan of homeschooling and like alternative schooling and anything besides public schooling. But it's a very like simple and straightforward, like quick read that is like really just presents the topic of why there needs to be a major shift in schooling and why public schooling is just like drastically failing kids.
Hmm.
So
that sounds like definitely something some people should check out if they are just on the fence about the idea. But this article from fee.org, that's the Foundation for Economic Education.org, says a robust education marketplace means some schools will fail. And some people are terrified of the idea of businesses failing or schools failing. Like, that's just immediately a bad thing. But honestly, it's a healthy thing.
You know, I had a joke of the public school teachers. They said, you know, my students are acing the tests, and the principal comes in and has a frowny face and says, teacher, if your students are doing so well and getting straight A's and they're crushing the exams, why on earth would the state give us more money next year?
That's a good point.
So you need to get these students failing and failing fast.
That's such a great point. They're always saying, we need more money to make sure that these kids do better on the freaking
standardized
tests.
Which doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's like, why would we continue to give you more money for them to do a worse job? Like, that just doesn't make sense to
me. They're all tenured and they don't care about doing any better, you know?
Well, and it's like the whole system, too. It's not even just the public school teachers. I mean, it's the whole entire public school system, and even a good public school teacher, which there aren't very many, but like the few that are good and want to actually teach children something useful, they're not allowed to because they have to crank, you know what I mean? Like it's so focused on these standardized tests and all of the curriculum is, you know, basically fed to them. They can't even come up with their own lessons. So it's even, you know, a teacher that wants to be innovative and do a better job, they really can't.
Even then, I don't know if I'd want some person, you know, coming up with their own stuff for the kids. It's just like, why don't people want to teach their own kids? I think most of them is because it's unplanned pregnancies. But.
Well, yeah, I think people think that they're not qualified to teach their own children, which, if you think about it, if public school failed someone so horribly that they feel like they are unfit to educate their own children, why would they ever send their kid to that same public school?
Yeah, that's a good
that
point.
Just doesn't make any sense at all. And with so the Ron Paul book is called The School Revolution. Highly recommend it. It's very easy read, quick read. But Ron Paul specifically since we're talking about them, has free curriculum, I think, until 6th or 9th grade.
Wow, it's free?
It's free, and it's online school, so it's, like, literally all you need is Wi-Fi and a laptop. And, of course, like, for children, for the first few years of life, like, you're going to need a little bit more hands-on instruction. But by the time a kid is, like, 8 years old, they should be able to independently,
like, log in,
teach themselves and log in. Like, they will be able to figure that out very quickly.
Like, it's never been easier to be educated. Growing up in my day, when in the 80s, you know, the VHS, like, I wanted to learn Spanish, and I asked my mom for these VHS learns teach your kids Spanish tapes, and, you know, they're $300.
Yeah.
And I think it's so amazing now, and I would have died to have YouTube where it's like, hey, not only do I have one Spanish lesson, I have 500 different Spanish teachers all wanting to teach me Spanish from around the world, and they're teaching it for free.
Yeah.
And it's never been easier to be educated, and it's kind of paradoxical. The kids are getting dumber each year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like the use of the internet has been funneled into social media.
Yeah. Because growing up, it was really hard to be educated if you were poor because, you know, Johnny had the encyclopedia set and parents could take him to the library. And
I know you're really jealous of Johnny, but
let's
keep it on topic.
We were poor. We were kind of poor growing up, you know, and so, you know, everything we had, it was, you know, like I went to college on a scholarship because my parents didn't have the money to send me to college. So,
yeah.
I wonder if kids even come out with IQs like you anymore.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Here's the thing. I'm not that rare.
Yes, you are.
I mean, you know, in a group of 10,000 people, I might be in the top 5, but there's, you know,
that's pretty rare. Somebody, what percentage is that?
Somebody once said, if you're a once in a million kind of guy in China, congratulations, there's 1,000 of you.
Right.
Nice. Yeah. Well, what percentage is 5 out of 10,000?
1 in 2,000, or roughly 99.95 percentile.
See, I just proved that he's smart.
So
I feel like this is all part of my master plan. But yeah, you are right, TJ. It is. It's never been easier to be self-educated. And especially, I mean, kids pick up technology so easily.
Right.
And I mean, it was proven, like the first big one was Khan Academy. And that was another math one where it was just a guy tutoring kids.
Well,
it started as his cousin,
I believe, needed help with high school algebra. And he started doing the whole black on, you know, the writing with the voice of God and the scribbles.
Yeah.
And he just set that up and away it went.
Yeah. So basically he was making really good videos and people were saying, the people he was tutoring were like, wow, these are really, really helpful. This is really helping me. So he created a website. And now, I mean, it stems beyond math now. I mean, he has, there's like entrepreneur classes on there. There's like how to start your own business. I'm sure there's a ton of other like liberal arts style classes on there as well, like English, history, whatever. But all of those classes are free.
When I was a kid, I was homeschooled until 3rd grade, and my mom just basically looked online for like printout things and also like workbooks like that she would buy. She'd buy workbooks and like go off of the book. Like, you know, she didn't have to already know. I mean, that was a very young level, so she probably did already know most of that stuff, but she didn't even have to remember like, oh yeah, I gotta teach them this, yes, yeah, or this next, because she had the book to go off of, and it's like, I just don't see what's so hard about it.
Well, also, the economy is so bad that most households need 2 incomes. So a lot of people, you know, a lot of moms, usually it's the mom that's doing the homeschooling, right? Usually both parents need to work. I'm a firm believer that if there's a will, there's a way. And I work from home. I run 2 businesses from home. I mean, I'm sure the average person wouldn't be able to do that. But like I said, Khan Academy and Ron Paul, like, have free classes that you can even take as an adult on how to start your own business and how to be, you know, like, entrepreneur-type videos. So if somebody really cared about their kid's education and didn't want to send them to public school and wanted to be able to be present with their children, raise their children themselves, if that was really a priority for somebody, you can make it work. I mean,
like, what do you have to stop spending money on? Like, do you buy beer every month?
Well, and it's not even just that. I mean, you can, like I said, you can work from home. I mean, there are tons of jobs where you can work from home. Yeah, it might not be able to be like a 40-hour a week full-time position because, yes, you will need to tend to your children, and that isn't always a really easy thing to multitask, like working well, homeschooling well, like cooking lunch and doing all of those things that are necessary for childcare.
That sounds more fulfilling than sending them off to daycare and you go into a corporate job.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything more terrifying than sending my little baby to be cared for by someone else.
That doesn't care about them.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we hear all these stories about, like, daycare, like, babies, literal babies being, like, sexually assaulted at daycare or abused or whatever. And then, personally, I had a horrible experience in public school, so I just can't imagine subjecting my children to that. And I know not everybody has those experiences in public school, but
they're just not thinking about them correctly because it's so normal.
Yeah,
I think you could fix a lot of the problems in public school if you just changed one thing. If you made attendance voluntary,
yeah.
If you told the kids, look, if you don't want to be here, you do not have to show up. And when you come back, when you want to learn, I'll be here waiting.
Yeah.
But instead, you're like, no, you're going to come to school and you're going to sit here and you're going to learn x equal negative b plus or minus the square root of b squared minus 4ac all over 2a. That's the quadratic formula.
Oh.
But, we're going to teach these kids a bunch of stuff that they're never ever going to use because trust me, I'm a mathematician. Outside of a very few rare circumstances, I don't go to a party and be like, hey, I'm a mathematician. Did you know that integral z squared dz from 1 to the cube root of 3 times the cosine of 3 pi over 9 equals natural log of the cube root of e? What? That's a limerick.
That's a poem?
Yeah, it's a poem and it's true.
Okay. I thought it was another thing, like the quadratic formula or something.
Yeah, no. So you got to know calculus and trigonometry and natural logarithms.
But your point is being made that you don't necessarily need to get to know the most complicated parts of it. Like a mom is not going to have to teach their child something like that.
Hence where Khan Academy comes in, because my dad said to me, I remember in seventh grade, I brought my pre-algebra homework, and he said, son, I don't understand this XYZ stuff at all. You're on your own.
Hmm.
And so from seventh grade on, and mom was helpless, I pretty much had to do my own homework, and because dad didn't understand algebra and certainly didn't understand calculus and trigonometry and all that stuff.
Hmm.
I mean, but if you have the book,
yeah,
I mean, you can, the book is meant to help. Yeah. Children learn, right?
But that's kind of like a...
And it's been helping children learn for hundreds of years, yeah. You know, since it's been invented.
Well,
books, yes. They've been helping people learn because you didn't have to learn something firsthand, or you didn't have to have someone show you.
Yeah. Or tell you.
Or tell you. Instead, you could get a book and say, ready, and then learn.
Well, and there is evidence that you can learn quicker from a book. Reading books are more efficient, tool to learn and to be taught something than lecture, because on average, a person can only pay attention to a lecture that's being, given by any teacher for roughly 25 minutes. Anything after 25 minutes is usually lost. They stop paying attention. They need some sort of break.
I think that's probably at least on average. I totally believe that because my favorite teachers were the ones that would stand up there and lecture, and I learned the best that way, and I noticed that other kids complained about that, couldn't pay attention. I didn't even need to take notes. I think that my learning style is just kind of like conversational, but
yeah.
I totally agree that most people are not that way, like that they learn better maybe from reading, watching, doing something like that more.
Well, there's different learning styles, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, like if you're homeschooled, your mom can figure that out and tailor things for you. But we do have a caller on the line, so I'm going to let them hop in with their thoughts. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's in your mind?
Hey, Bonnie. You need to stop equating liberty with morality.
No.
Because they're far from... Because it's not. You can't just declare it so...
Yes, I can. It's immoral to impose your will on others when they don't want it. Plain and simple.
And where'd you get that? You just make that up?
No, it's something that your mom would have taught you when you were a child if she wasn't a piece of crap.
So whose mom is a moral authority?
I'm not just saying that she's a moral authority. It's just something that people learn by living their lives.
It's called religion, Bonnie.
No, it's not. I'm not saying that it is moral because it's written in a book. It's moral because we learn it by interacting with the world around us.
By someone who read it in a book, okay.
I said I did not say that. Okay, bye. I don't talk to people who don't listen. You're just such a retard.
Was that Dave in New York? Or?
No.
That's Scooter, Skeeter, Scrotum.
Yeah, that's
Squidward.
For some reason, I thought I couldn't say retard. Retard. I can say retard. I almost got myself like I was going to get dumped. I don't have a stutter.
He's a heckler that I've never heard before.
He's really annoying. Yeah, I should have let you talk to him longer, but he's just really annoying.
Well, I was about to confess my sins as a born-again Christian. I was about to tell everybody about how I'm a sinner, and I have come to Jesus and found him. And No, that's a serious.
Skeeter, you can call back in if you want, because I did hang up on you kind of prematurely.
No.
It's just annoying.
No,
we don't need him back.
Okay, never mind. It's just that I literally said something and he repeated back the opposite of what I said. And that's like, I don't want to talk to you when you're being that way. When you just want to have a fight so bad that you're arguing against something I didn't even say. In fact, the opposite of what I said. I said it's not immoral because it's written in a book that it's immoral. You learn it by interacting with the world around you, even as a child. If you're not, like, locked in a basement, that's probably why Skeeter's in his mom's basement. His mom locked him in there to not have to deal with him all his childhood.
She forgot about him. That's all he knows.
Yeah. Sorry, Skeeter, I changed my mind. I'm not picking back up. They said they don't want to talk to you. But what were you going to say about morality and Christianity, TJ?
I was just going to say, he was going to say it's called religion. I was like, oh, well, it's good. We got the whole of the Shire Free Church. We got a whole bunch of religions here.
Yeah. So, I am religious, and it's...
You're the prophet of Bitcoin coming through Satoshi Nakamoto and spreading peace and liberty through Bitcoin.
Right.
And...
spreading freedom that way.
Freedom that way. I mean, that would be the whole thing. Like, if I was Mr. Sisti at the trial... I would have said, Mr. Freeman, can you explain your mission to the court?
Right.
And I would have just said, well, yeah, it's to spread peace and liberty through Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is a thing of good. To get it into the hands of as many people as possible is a good thing.
It definitely should have been explained a lot better and more clearly, like what you're saying, to the jury, so they could understand, oh, there's not a shrine in the studio.
Yeah, there's not a shrine. There was IRS BS in the... folder.
There's a folder labeled IRSBS.
So what was... there was a shrine mentioned?
So they...
I must have not been there that day.
They were trying to claim that the Shire Free... so this is the trial of Ian Freeman versus the United States back in December 2022, and which the jury ultimately convicted him of money laundering, conspiracy to money launder, and...
operation of an unlicensed money business.
Yes.
Money transmission business. Conspiracy to operate an unlicensed money transmission business.
And
4 counts tax evasion.
Yes. And so they were asking the IRS agent who was here during the raid, they asked her multiple questions to try, the prosecution did, to try to prove, quote unquote, in their eyes,
right,
that the Shire Free Church was not a real church, or that we weren't actually religious about what the stuff we believe in.
Right, because that's, you know, something an IRS agent would be an expert at.
Right, so they asked her, was there any religious imagery or a shrine in the studio? Like, how many churches even have a shrine? Like, it's not a Buddhist temple. We actually have a peace flag here in the studio. I'm wearing a shirt that says,
use crypto, stop wars.
Thank you. I was like,
so in hindsight, when the FBI crashed through the front door, you could have had a, hallelujah, sell Bitcoin. Ah, brother, you want to get some Bitcoin, you got to come down and believe in Satoshi Nakamoto.
Oh my God.
You could have something like that, and...
you out crazy the crazies, and that's how you get rid of them. I think that is a great idea, and we should totally do that next time.
Next time, yeah. Aww. Be prepared. We have the whole house wired for cameras and sound before they smash them.
We should do that. I don't really want that set up in my house that much. Like, that could be hacked into, but I almost do want to have that for next time there's a raid, if there ever is. I'm sure it'll be in March, so watch out, you guys.
Knowing your husband, I'm sure he'll make it happen somehow.
Hopefully not.
From prison?
No, once he gets out, I'm sure he'll come up with some stunt that'll get the feds' ire. And
I'm just kind of trying to say, like, on the down low, minus, like, going on national radio and talking about things.
Good vibes only.
Yeah, because I...
We've already saged the space. It's fine. All of the demons in the bad...
I actually did.
What was I even saying? Fed vibes are all gone. Yeah.
I actually did, because I didn't, like, sense any bad energy here, but I just thought about it, like, a really terrible thing with really terrible people happened here. So I saged the whole space.
Well, it's just, like,
windows.
I wouldn't invite some, like, gross fed person into my house. You know what I mean? Like, someone with, like, that level of malicious intent. And how many? There were, like, 50 people here, and they all, you're just going to say it, had malicious intent. I mean, they came here to attack people. So even just having, like, I wouldn't invite someone like that into my house. You probably wouldn't invite someone willingly like that into your house.
Talk about immorality.
Yeah, and it's like, with that, they just carry this, like, heaviness and just, like, this gross energy.
Your husband
needs to be cleansed.
Who was here during the raid agreed with me. We both met face-to-face with that woman who said, no, I didn't see a shrine, the one that they were asking.
Special Agent Katie Tevo.
Yeah, and we agree that she has demons in her.
Probably, yeah, she's probably possessed.
Seriously,
most of them probably are.
The way she had a Jekyll and Hyde personality, where she came up acting really nice to me and then was just like, what is the Bitcoin embassy for? Or not, she didn't even say the Bitcoin embassy. So why do libertarians go to the Mighty Moose Mart? It, just like really scary,
like,
and rude
to buy
suddenly.
Soda? I don't know.
That's what I said. I was like, it's a convenience store. What do you mean?
Yeah, like, why does everybody else go there?
That's the thing, I
weirdo.
Keep going back, because I will tell people, you know, they will try and trick you, they'll threaten you, they'll promise you, they'll be sweet to you. The only thing you should ever say to a federal agent is, I have nothing to say, I'd love to talk to you, but I'd like to speak to my attorney first. I wish to invoke my right to have a counsel present. That's the end, and they should immediately stop questioning you and let you contact your attorney.
That's great advice. Everybody should do that. I wish I knew to say that at the time. I was keeping in mind not to talk to them, but they came up holding my dog.
Yes,
and
that's gangster right there when you threaten Coconut and say you're going to put him in the pound where he's going to be euthanized.
Yeah, gangster in a bad way. Like, not gangster like cool. Not bad like cool. Bad like bad.
She is a perfect example of how the FBI has no physical fitness standards anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow.
She was so fat. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It looks like we're off the air in a few seconds. So 603-283.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.